Good evening. I'd like to call the House Ways and Means Committee meeting to order. Today is February 26th, 2024. Let the record reflect that it is 6:06. Today we have present Speaker Kathy Tilton, Representative Tom McKay, Representative Kevin McCabe, Representative Andrew Gray, Representative Cliff Groh, and myself, Chair Carpenter. Looking to see if we have any other legislators in the room, and we do not. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Galvin, you're sitting front and center. My apologies. Okay, so let's see. I have a note here that says that Department of Revenue Tax Division Deputy Director Michael Williams is here. Thank you, sir, for joining us. And you're here for questions if we have any. Appreciate it. Thank you. Staff assisting us today, Lori Rowland with House Records, Shelby Carroll with the LIO. Thank you both for being here. My staff, Kendra Broussard, will be the committee aide. Today we will be hearing tax bills, HB 142, state sales and use tax, and House Bill 156, income tax. We heard these bills for the first time last year. We will first take up public testimony on the two bills and then take up amendments. With that, I will open public testimony on House Bill 142 and House Bill 156, and we'll be setting a two-minute time limit for testimony. I understand we could have quite a few people wanting to testify tonight. So I'm opening public testimony. Is there anybody in the room that would like to testify on either of the two bills? Sir, please come forward. Either one of them should work. Please give us your name.
Yeah, for the record, my name is Pat Race. I'm a small business owner, and I think our 44-year tax holiday was a selfish mistake, which gifted the benefits of our resource wealth to a single generation and stuck Alaska's next generation with a hefty obligation. We greedily ate all the cake. In 1939, Ernest Greening became Alaska's territorial governor and quickly realized the most urgent problem facing the state was an inadequate revenue system. Alaska's resources were not being utilized for the benefit of Alaskans. They were being extracted and shipped south. The time has come, Greening declared, when an increased proportion of that wealth should be kept in Alaska for the further development, progress, and improvement of Alaska and the Alaskan. Governor Greening laid out a simple choice. Alaskans could work together and contribute taxes for the benefit of all citizens, or stand by and be governed for and by outside interests whose sole concern was to take out of Alaska as much as they could, as fast as they could, and leave as little as possible. Greening went into detail about how easy it was for private interests to control a small number of lawmakers and completely obstruct any meaningful legislation. During World War II, federal money poured into the pockets of Alaskans, and Greening lamented the missed opportunity that no part of this under our rigid, antiquated tax system went into the territorial treasury. He said, "What utter chumps these legislators are, for even a small tax would solve all the territory's financial problems." By 1947, the legislature made half-hearted attempts to raise revenue by increasing motor fuel and liquor taxes, but still violated territorial law by running a deficit. Greening had to freeze expenditures, and important matching federal funds were lost. The University of Alaska almost closed, if not for loans from wealthy members of the Board of Regents. In 1949, Alaskan voters elected a legislature that supported Greening's income tax, and it passed in a special session. Today, many people argue that an income tax will stifle our economy, but that doesn't bear out. History tells us that taxation was an essential step in the march towards statehood and provided a foundation we stand on today. Had we continued to collect taxes, imagine what we could have built together. And instead, we're nailing planks to the edge of the fiscal cliff. Alaskans should reinstate an income tax. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And that was 10 seconds shy of 2 minutes. Very well done. Are there any other members in the audience? Ma'am, if you would come forward. And please give us your name for the record and you can begin your testimony.
Good evening. My name is Christine Peterson, middle initial F because there's two of us in town. I'm for the income tax. When I was 14, my first job here in Juneau, I was getting $3.67 an hour, and I was paying income tax. I don't agree upon one part of the bill. I would like everybody be paying it, except for exceptions you may have for, I don't know, this legal talk, but I would like to see it passed. For your guys' talk, effective date, I'm trying to use a little bit of sense of humor here, but I don't have any. I myself would say make it so. Do it in special session, get it done this year.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. And it's late in the night, so the sense of humor here might be lacking a little bit too. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to testify in the room? Okay, I'm seeing none. I'm going to go to the phones here. And let's see. Let's start with House Bill 156 is listed here first. Looks like Cindy Glider. Are you on the line, Cindy? Hello, Cindy.
Can you?
Cindy, can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're on. Give us your name for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Cindy Gilder, and I'm just here to speak in support of an income tax. I guess if nothing else, I'm getting tired of being on Alaska Airlines and sitting next to the 20% of the oil field workers who are just stopping by the Anchorage airport, maybe having a cup of coffee, and not providing anything else to our economy. I think a broad-based income tax is the fairest of the way to go, and it ensures the services that we need can be paid for. Thank you for considering my testimony.
Thank you, Cindy. Very concise. We appreciate your testimony tonight. Next up is Mary Olson from Glen Allen. Mary, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Very good. Well, give us your name for the record, and you can begin your 2 minute testimony.
Yes, my name is Mary Oden, O-D-D-E-N, speaking for myself and my husband, James Oden, in support of an income tax long needed for Alaska. We have worked here. We came in the 1970s. We have been working here since the 1970s. We've been small business owners in Glen Allen for many years now. And we paid income tax and a head tax, a school tax, when we first came to Alaska. And we thought that was a very good thing to do. It keeps everyone interested in what state government does, for one thing, which would help you guys out. It's more fair than a sales tax. Communities are already using sales taxes. They need to. We can't keep raiding the permanent fund. The much embattled permanent fund is not going to meet the needs for state government. That's not what it's for. We need schools. We've had the best Arctic research and other programs in the University of Alaska. This is being destroyed by budget cuts, by unstable monies. We need a broad-based, stable income for Alaska. This is a good start. You can quibble over the fairness of what that $200,000 income means, but give us all a head tax, make a ceiling, do an income tax progressive above there, whatever you need to do. Please don't play politics with us anymore. We are nonpartisan just because we're sick of the party politics. Be brave. Do your jobs. Be our heroes. Please support HB 156. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Right at 2 minutes. Very job well done. Next up, we have Alex. And your last name here is... I've got written as Wertheimer. Sir, are you on the line?
Can you hear me okay?
Alex, if that's you, I can hear you.
Great. Yes, my name is Alex Wertheimer. I fully support a state income tax as an essential part of a long-term fiscal plan for Alaska. A progressive income tax is more equitable than a statewide sales tax or further cuts in the PFD, which disproportionately impact lower income households. Progressive income tax is not some radical new idea. The federal government and some 43 states use them. Judging by the booming economies in many of these states, they are not an anchor on economic growth. However, I don't think the 2% flat tax on higher income is the way to go. It's better than not having income tax, but the Walker administration had a very simple plan for a state income tax where we would pay a small percentage of our federal tax assessment. Higher income folk would pay more, and low income earners who pay little or no federal tax would pay much less. And we would receive revenue from non-resident workers so they too can contribute to the services and infrastructure that make their jobs possible. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I appreciate you taking on this important issue.
Thank you, Alex, for your testimony tonight. Next up, we have Paula Davis calling from Anchorage. Paula, if you can hear me, maybe have to unmute yourself on your phone, and you can begin your testimony.
Can you hear me?
Paula, I can hear you. Please give us your name for the record and begin your testimony.
My name is Paula Davis. I'm very in favor of House Bill 156. And thank you for your hard work on this as a committee. I'm sorry our income tax was removed so many years ago, and I would love to see it reinstated for a number of reasons. The first is that oil revenue is diminishing, and I also feel that we should pay for the services we get. I feel like it's an equitable system, unlike sales taxes that hit the poor more than the rich. I think that 2% for those making greater than $200,000 is fair. I think the $20 is fair. I don't like to be bribed by large PFDs. I think it's insulting. The 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off slope workers, I think, should pay into our system, those that live out of state. And for years, I've been saying, please tax us. Almost every other state and country does this. We hate to be running out of money just because we don't want to tax ourselves. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Please pass this and be brave in doing it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony tonight, Paula. Next up is Margie Goodrich from Eagle River. Margie, if you're there, maybe unmute your phone, and you can give us your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Margie. Go ahead.
Awesome. My name is Margie Goodrich. I'd like to say a few words on House Bill 156. I was born and raised here in Alaska, and I felt it was a bit short-sighted when we were flush with money when the oil started coming in, and they eliminated the state income tax. I'm strongly in favor of an income tax, particularly. Well, I think it should be actually on $100,000 rather than $200,000 for the higher level. And I agree that we should have some sort of tax on the individual, although low-income people, of course, cannot afford a lot more like the higher income levels can. And without a doubt, I feel that the slope workers should contribute to the well-being of the state, where they make so much money and then they take it out of the state, and their home states end up taxing them and taxing them a lot more than we would. Excuse me. Also, I feel that an income tax would help to improve our education system along with other necessities, but 20 years ago or so, maybe 30, the education system here in Alaska was known to be quite good. It's since depleted, and it is no longer considered a very good education system because the education system keeps getting cut, the budget does. And I think an income tax would help that a lot, so we could improve our schools and our services for all things in the state. And I love this state, and I want to see it be the place that it can be, but we can't keep not paying for it. It has to be paid for, and we need an income tax like everybody else has one, and we should have one to pay bills.
And thank you.
That's my 2 bits worth.
Thank you, Margie, for your testimony tonight. Next up, we have Lori Pickett from Anchorage. Lori, if you can hear me, you may need to unmute your phone, and you can put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Lori Pickett. I am testifying tonight as an individual citizen. I am an Alaskan resident of nearly 29 years. My husband and I have raised 2 children in Anchorage. I'm speaking tonight to voice my support for the implementation of a state income tax. While the idea of introducing a tax may initially raise concerns, I firmly believe that such a measure is imperative for the well-being and prosperity of our state. What I like about HB 156 is that it is reasonable. Everyone who is fortunate enough to earn a top salary in Alaska, regardless of their home residency, is asked to give a small percent. But also every wage earner has buy-in. We are all in this together. I believe implementing a state income tax will provide a stable and sustainable source of revenue for essential public services and infrastructure, enhancing economic stability and attracting business and talent to our state. Investments in education and workforce development made possible through a reliable revenue source like an income tax can help cultivate a skilled workforce and drive economic prosperity in the long run. It is my belief that the adoption of a reasonable state income tax is about investing in the future of our great state and ensuring that all residents have access to the opportunities and services they need to thrive. I want Alaska to be a place where families want to live, to raise their children, and be with their grandchildren. With a move towards reliable income sources that do not unduly burden us, we can build that. I urge you to consider long-term benefits of such a measure and take bold action to secure a brighter future for Alaskan families. Thank you for this opportunity to express my support of HB 156.
Thank you, Lori, for your testimony today. Very well done. Next up, we have Mr. Paul Seaton from Homer. Sir, if you can hear me, maybe need to unmute your phone. I know you know how to do this. So you can put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Thanks. For the record, my name is Paul Seaton. I'm a resident of Homer. And I want to thank the committee for considering and taking public testimony on House Bill 156, which I support. We know revenue is needed to balance our essential expenditures. I think this is the first real consideration since the House passed what would have been the fourth lowest income tax in the nation as part of our long-term fiscal plan that we passed out of the House in 2017. I'm pleased that this has a 2% tax on S-corps above those numbers, as S-corporations are avoiding the corporate income tax if they're involved in oil. And so they don't pay that corporate income tax, and this would reach back and gather some of that lost revenue. Thank you very much for taking public testimony and considering the bill, and that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Next up, we have Joel Salvino calling from Kisilov. If you can hear us, and you might need to unmute your phone. Please put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Am I coming in?
Joel, I can hear you.
Yeah, I am 33 years old, and every day I read news articles from politicians arguing over the best way to attract young people to stay in Alaska and move to Alaska. I'm here to have you listen to an actual young person who has moved to Alaska 4 years ago and what brought me to the state. I'm in the prime earning years of my life, and I brought with me my own business. I am building a house, a farm, and a family here in Alaska. I am telling you why I chose Alaska and why I'm talking to you now. All of the politicians and speakers thus far are older than me and more successful than me. And while I applaud all of you for dedicating your lives to public service and using your experience and wisdom for the state of Alaska, I ask all of you, how long were you burdened with a state income tax when you built your fortunes in Alaska? Were you burdened with a state sales tax when you built your house in Alaska? When you raised your children in Alaska, what part of your income was stolen from you and given to Juneau? Why now, after all the success that you've worked hard for, why do you pull up the ladder behind you? Let men and women like myself work hard and build businesses in Alaska just like you did. Do not burden us with new taxes that you never faced. I live in Alaska because I want to work as hard as I possibly can to build a life for myself. Why is it that you feel you can now punish the younger generation after you use the state of Alaska for your own fortune? Do you want young people to move here and build a future? Then let us have the same liberty you enjoyed, and let us have the same opportunities you enjoyed. Time is the most valuable resource in the world. People like me, who work for a living, who trade my time in the form of labor, which results in an income. When you tax my income, you are stealing the most valuable resource in the world, which is my You all sit here now with government jobs. You do not produce value. You look at my youth, my energy, my sweat, my blood as if it is your property. You treat men and women like me as ATMs to build your legacies off of. You punish those of us who work for a living, and for what? I haven't seen a line item budget for the state. Do you know where every single penny in the state budget goes to? I have my own business, and I know precisely where my money is spent. Why is it that you all here now think you need more money when you don't even know where the money is spent? Show me a line item budget, and I guarantee you I will make the cuts necessary to keep the government funded. If none of you are savvy enough with mathematics and budgeting, I am offering my services free of charge to help you do your job and make the budget work without raising taxes.
Mr. Salvino.
Working men and women.
Mr. Salvino.
Transparency to the current budget.
Mr. Salvino.
I will not be your slave. I will not be your slave.
Mr. Salvino, can you wrap up your comments, please?
All of you are older than me, and you want me to pay for your legacy.
Thank you for your comments today. Next up is Kevin Banks from Anchorage. Sir, if you can hear me, you might need to unmute yourself. You can give us your name and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kevin Banks. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'm a resident of Anchorage, and I would like to speak in favor of House Bill 156. It certainly is an opportunity for the state to diversify its revenues. Right now, our dependence on the one single oil industry has been clearly a problem. I mean, I think that for those of us who have enjoyed the services of government without participating at all in it, seem to have acquired a sense of entitlement to the services of being able to drive on our roads and have our children educated without any cost to ourselves. And it's time, I think, that that sense of entitlement be moderated by the fact that we are contributing to the government and the services it provides. Furthermore, I think that contribution gives us a stake in what's happening in the government. And I think that's perhaps will make for a more enlightened and participating or active citizenry. Finally, I think I would like to mention that I would favor an income tax rather than a sales tax for reasons that many people have talked about. But one thing about a sales tax is that it actually has no consideration for the situation faced by an individual taxpayer. Each is different. Each is should be considered in terms of what they can afford and what their life situation is like. And I think it's somewhat ironic in closing that we are talking now about 156, and yet there's another bill on the agenda which would reduce corporate income taxes. I think that simply strikes me as terribly ironic, In any case, let's vote yes on 156 and move this forward. I think it's certainly a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony tonight. Next up, we have Kathy Morgan from Toke, I believe. If you can hear me, and you may need to unmute yourself, you can give us your name and begin your testimony.
Hello, I'm not unmuted.
Kathy, I can hear you. Ms. Morgan, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me now?
I can hear you just perfectly fine. Go right ahead and begin your testimony.
This is Kathy Morgan. I'm a resident of Toke. I'm speaking in support of HB 156. Alaska needs to come up with more revenue to support state services. We cannot go on spending more than we earn, and we can't cut essential services more than they have already been cut. Adding an income tax can accomplish this, although I don't think this bill goes far enough. If I were drafting it, I'd tax all income over $100,000 earned in Alaska, and the annual head tax should be higher, maybe more like $200 per earner. I'm retired now, but I worked in Alaska from 1963 until my retirement. Before the pipeline boom, we paid a state income tax and also paid an annual school tax. Plus, after the 1964 earthquake, we paid an annual disaster tax. Those taxes came out of your first paycheck each year. If you changed jobs, you let the new employer know that you had already paid those head taxes for the year. Now, Alaska residents could just pay the head tax out of their permanent fund dividends, so there'd be no money out of pocket for the head tax. For many Alaskans, this tax would be more than balanced by the PFD, and it would help protect the permanent fund from being so rapidly depleted by withdrawals to pay for state government. Currently, non-resident workers and seasonal residents benefit from state services such as roads and public safety protection, but they don't help pay for them. Most of the money they earn here is taken out of state to benefit merchants in other states. That just isn't fair. Another way for the state to raise money would be a statewide sales tax, but that imposes a disproportionate collection and reporting burden on merchants and shopkeepers, and it disproportionately disadvantages those residents in the lowest income tax brackets. An income tax that exempts the first $100,000 or $200,000 of income imposes more of the burden on those who can best afford it. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for your testimony tonight, and let the record reflect that Representative Ballard joined us at 6:34. Okay, I have Mr. Nolan Kluta, and it says that this is you're the director of the Center for Economic Development at the University of Alaska. Sir, if you're on the line, were you here for testimony or to answer questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Nolan Clouda for the record. I am just here to answer any questions that folks have. I'm here to provide any expertise I can on how the tax may affect the economy or fiscal matters or compared to other taxes or other questions the committee might have, but I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you, sir, for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I do believe that is all of the people who have called in this evening. I'm going to double check. Okay.
For both bills?
That is for both bills, yep. Thanks. Okay. I will do a double check in the room here in case someone walked in while I was paying attention up front here. Anybody else in the room want to testify tonight on either bill? Okay, seeing none, we will close public testimony at 6:35 p.m. Thank you all who called in today and who are here in person for testimony. If you did not have an opportunity to call in this evening, you can email your public testimony to house.waysandmeans@akleg.gov, and that will be presented to the committee. Okay, next on the agenda, we'll take up House Bill 142. I set an amendment deadline for this bill on Saturday at 5 p.m. I didn't receive any amendments, but I do have four that I will be offering today. and therefore brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record, just double checking to make sure everybody has a copy of the amendments before us. These amendments are labeled 1 through 5. And let me just get to my documentation here. Okay, we'll move amendment number 1. Can I get an objection? Thank you, Representative McCabe. And I have my staff, Ms. Ardwin, here to help explain amendment number 1.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, for the record, Donna Ardwin, staff to Representative Carpenter. Amendment number 1 replaces resale exemption, which is already in House Bill 142, with a more specific exemption certificate. That certificate is recognized around the country through the streamlined sales tax agreement, and it allows for transactions within the state or through other states to only be taxed once, so that if you purchase, if you're Alaska retailer, you can give this certificate to the businesses that you do business with that source things in other states, distribute them, warehouse them, transport them, and the sale is only taxed once at the place of delivery. Not all of those places along the way.
Thank you, Ms. Ardwin. Questions from committee members? Representative McCabe, do you maintain your objection? I'm sorry, hold that. Representative Groh, do you have a question?
Do you have a fiscal impact for this?
Do we have an assessment on fiscal impact for the amendment?
For the Ms. Ardwin? No, we do not. There's a fiscal note for the entire bill of about $1.2 billion a year in revenue.
Mr. Chairman,
closer to the mic so the record can catch
I'm familiar, Mr. Chairman, with the fiscal note for the whole bill. I was just trying to, it would be interesting to know what effect, since it's an exemption, we assume it's going to reduce revenue. And it would be interesting to know if there was an estimate, and even perhaps a more casual or horseback estimate of what the amount would be.
Very good. Let's reach out to, we have a couple of people that might be able to speak to this. Director Painter is on the line, and I'm going to go to him first and put him in the hot seat. Director Painter, did you hear Representative Groh's question, and would you be able to help us with the answer?
For the record, Alexis Painter, Legislative Finance Division, I do not know the answer to that. Perhaps the Department of Revenue could help with that.
Very good. Thank you, Director Painter. Mr. Williams, can you come forward and help us with the question, if possible?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Michael Williams. I'm Deputy Tax Director for the Alaska Department of Revenue. With respect to a fiscal note on an exemption certificate, no, we have not put one together, but we can certainly look into that and see if there's any additional cost associated with it. But my understanding is that this is really just clarifying language. The exemption certificate is a common industry term, if you will, that's what other states use in terms of identifying sales for resale or other business inputs, that the exemption certificate is the common form used to identify an exempt self that are, so you don't tax business inputs for a business process.
Mr. Williams, since the exemption certificate is already a part of the bill, does the fiscal note that's provided by Department of Revenue already cover the existing fiscal impact to a exemption certificate?
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding, but we'll clarify that for the record.
Okay, thank you, sir. Representative Groh, does that satisfy your question?
As best as we can do now, clearly. Thank you, Mr.
Okay, we'll make sure you get the information. Thank you. Any other questions? Representative McCabe.
Just a comment. I don't think we typically do financial analysis or fiscal notes for amendments. certainly hasn't been my experience that we have a fiscal note. This bill, if you look at it, says that, it makes some assumption of sales based on the gross sales that we have. I don't think it makes any assumption based on a resale. So I would say that question kind of caught me off guard.
Thank you, sir. Representative McCabe. I certainly would want to know if the facts and figures that we have before us are taking into consideration what reductions would come from something being exempted for a resale. And the bill already had that concept in it. And so I'm assuming that is covered in the analysis that already has been conducted. Since we are amending the bill, it is a legitimate question in my mind to just double check and make sure that what the analysis that was done prior doesn't change or does change with the amendment. And I understand you'll be able to help us with that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the department will certainly clarify for the record that that is the case.
Thank you. And since it is my amendment, I am the burden here of changing things on the fly. Any other questions? Okay, Representative McCabe, do you maintain your objection?
No.
Okay, any other objections? Okay, seeing no other objections, amendment number one is adopted. I will move amendment number three.
Object.
Ms. Ardoin, can you explain amendment number three, please?
Yeah, through the chair. This is also a technical amendment, but it clarifies at what point the tax liability is due. So there's a thing called sourcing and sales taxes, and Mr. Williams can help with this if we need to, that says the source of that revenue is sourced either at the point of sale or the point of delivery. This makes it clear it's the point of delivery. So if you are in Alaska and you buy something in Alaska, the sales tax is remitted to the state of Alaska. If you buy something online and you purchase it from another state but it's delivered to Alaska, the sales tax is due to the state of Alaska. If you go to Seattle and you buy something at a retail outlet there, you pay the tax to the state of Washington.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ardoin. Mr. Williams, do you have anything to add?
Mr. Chair, again, Mike Williams, Alaska Department of Revenue. No, I don't have anything to add on that.
Thank you, sir. Questions from the committee? Representative Allard.
Thank you. Just for clarification, if somebody buys something online, we're not adding a tax. This is just, right?
We're adding a tax? This is a sales tax proposition. Yes.
So if we order something from Amazon, I always get it delivered here in Juneau because I'm here and I'm getting taxed. I don't like that so much. And when I get it ordered and it's delivered to me in Eagle River, I don't get taxed on it. Are you saying this is adding a tax?
Sales tax.
It is a proposition for a sales tax.
I just want to make sure I'm reading this right. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Do you maintain your objection, Representative McCabe?
No.
I do. Object.
Okay. You object.
Okay.
Representative Gray?
I'm a yes.
No, I'm not calling the...
Oh.
I thought you were... No, your mic for because you had something to say.
No objection.
I haven't asked for a vote yet. Okay, so there is an objection to adoption of the amendment. And so will the recorder please call the roll.
For Amendment 3, Representative Allard?
No.
Representative Groh?
Yes.
Representative McCabe?
No.
Representative McCabe?
No.
Representative Gray?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Chair Carpenter?
Yes.
3 yay, 4 nay.
Okay, with a vote of 4 nay and 3 yay, the amendment is not adopted. I move amendment number 2.
Object.
Ms. Ardoin, can you explain amendment number 2, please?
Yes, through the chair. Amendment number 2 provides a conditional effect to this act. The act shall take effect only if the legislature passes before July 1, 2024, a resolution proposing an amendment to Article 9, Section 16 of the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the appropriation limit. That being self-evident, but to explain it, the sales tax will only take effect if you all put on a ballot in front of voters a constitutional spending limit.
Questions from the committee members? Representative Groh. To the mic, sir, please.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I proposed my own constitutional spending limit, and which has a statutory element as well. I just want to note this, and I do think, I'd be interested more in the sponsors thinking about this, in the sense that we've talked about a comprehensive fiscal plan, and we have a couple of parts moving, i.e. the House Joint Resolution 7, House Joint Resolution 7 addressing a potential constitutional right to a dividend, and then we have this sales tax proposal, and then which is now going to be contingent if this passes on a on the spending limit. I wanted maybe if we could have us the sponsor, that'd be you, Mr. Chairman, address more your thinking about this.
Thank you, Representative Groh. The thinking on attaching a constitutional spending limit to a revenue generating measure should be fairly obvious. I don't want to generate revenue without some fiscal discipline and constraining the growth of government. And so that is my thinking, that a constitutional spending limit that is the only way that the legislature would recognize a spending limit is necessary in order to constrain the growth of government. So that's what my thinking is.
Okay.
And I guess I should caveat here that the amendment doesn't specify which particular spending limit would be applied here. It is just saying a constitutional spending limit.
Okay. And I want to note that.
Can you follow up, Representative?
Yeah, I could.
Groh, thank you.
And I did introduce House Joint Resolution 23 that would amend this provision, the provision of the Constitution addressing the spending limit or spending cap, to come up with a more effective spending and tighter spending limit. I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the value of your thinking on this. Thank you.
Representative McKay, did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's just a question, wondering about the constitutionality of making a law contingent on another law. I didn't know if this was entirely constitutional, but that I have no idea if it is or is not. I would note that it's conditional on the legislature passing a resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution relating to an appropriation limit that would have to be voted on by the people. And a couple steps there that have to happen. So anyway, I don't know if you have a thought on that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you,
Representative McKay. This amendment was not pulled out of my back pocket. I did ask legislative legal to draft this amendment, and I did not receive feedback from legislative legal that the request was unconstitutional.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Ms. Ardoin, do you have something to add?
Representative McKay, just point of clarification. This conditional effect requires the resolution to pass the legislature and be put before voters. It doesn't require the voters to pass it.
Thank you for the clarification. Obviously, we could not tie our actions to some action that the public might take, right? Because how do we know? Anything further? Okay, maybe I misunderstood. Anything else?
No.
Representative McCabe. Representative McCabe.
Thanks, Chair Carpenter. So this is what we talked about in the fiscal policy working group. This is sort of how we wanted to tie at least these two pieces together was through this amendment, if I remember right. And that was, what, 3 years ago, 2 years ago? Anyways, I just making sure of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative McCabe, for tying that to the history and kind of how we've gotten here. I think some of us wanted to, it was fair to say that some of us wanted to tie a spending measure and a control measure, or a spending limit measure together. I don't know that that would be the recommendation of the fiscal policy working group, other than there was a set of measures that needed to be taken in totality here with, as far as a fiscal plan is concerned. But I wouldn't, I think you and I might agree with that, but some of the other members might not have agreed that that was the two bills that should be tied together. For example, you could tie a PFD amendment or something like that too. Anyway, your point is well received. Thank you. I have a note for a brief at ease. Back on the record. Okay, thank you for your patience. Representative Gray.
Yes, through the chair, to the chair, I was just curious, the amendment that failed, Amendment 3, my understanding was that if you ordered something from Amazon and it came to Alaska, if that amendment had passed, then you would pay Alaska sales tax and money would go to Alaska. But because that amendment failed, you don't have to pay any taxes on anything you order from Amazon. So you would only have to pay sales tax on things that you bought at the store. So what we'll do is everyone in Alaska will just order from Amazon, and then all of our stores will go out of business, would be my fear. That was my comment, or my fear, because that amendment failed. And I didn't know if there was any clarification.
Are we on that amendment?
Okay. We are no longer on that amendment. That amendment was... failed, and we're not on that amendment. Right now, we're on amendment number 2, which is a conditional effect of the... Any other questions on amendment number 2? Okay. Representative Groh?
Comment. I'm a big supporter, as you have brought forward yourself, this idea of a comprehensive solution. A comprehensive fiscal plan to address our state's massive structural deficit that involves, as you have noted, by bringing forward, Mr. Chairman, the recommendations of the Fiscal Policy Working Group, which you remember back in 2021. And so I'm for, and I am for those individual recommendations, which include spending limit reform, major new revenues, as well as other actions relating to the permanent fund and permanent fund dividend. I am concerned. All right, I'll move closer because I'm well known to be a humble, modest person with a low voice. I am concerned that if there is an effect here, we're implying that you can only that this legislature can only raise revenues if it takes action on and puts forward a constitutional amendment on spending cap. I'm for both those things. I'm resisting somewhat the idea that we're going to tie them together as a matter of law and make it effective, because the state needs all those things. And I would note that that's not what's occurring, like I said, with another measure scheduled for a debate on the House floor this week on House Joint Resolution 7. There's no tie to any other passage. And there's no tie to adoption of revenues, even though that $500 million to $1 billion in revenues we needed to finance that constitutional amendment and the effect of it. So that's why I'm somewhat torn here. Don't really have so much of questions. I'm expressing my views and my hesitation or resistance, and I appreciate you bring this forward for us to discuss, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments or questions? Representative McCabe, do you
remove my objection?
Are there any other objections to the adoption of Amendment Number 2?
I object to Number 2. Amendment Number 2, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Groh. Will the recorder please call the roll?
Representative McCabe?
Pass.
Representative Gray?
No.
Representative Tilton?
Yes.
Representative Allard?
Yes.
Representative Groh?
No.
Representative McKay?
Yes.
Representative McCabe?
Yes.
Chair Carpenter?
Yes.
5 yea, 2 nay.
So with a vote of 5 yea and 2 nay, Amendment Number 2 is adopted. I will not be adopting Amendment Number 4 at this time. I will move Amendment Number 5.
Object.
Ms. Ardoin, can you explain Amendment Number 5, please?
Yes, to the chair. This amendment changes the effective date of the act. This bill was written and offered last year. We've moved it forward a year. The Department of Revenue is going to need a year to implement it, so the effective date will be January 1, 2026.
Thank you, Ms. Ardoin. Questions or comments from the committee? Representative McCabe, do you maintain
my objection?
Are there any other objections to Amendment Number 5? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment Number 5 is adopted by the committee. Thank you all. That is all the amendments that I have before us today. And are there any questions or comments about the bill before us? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, this is more me speaking to the public, but I made a mistake. So I'm just letting the public know that I thought that we were doing the sales tax that we had done last year, which was House Bill 109. I had amendments for that. I did not meet the deadline for this bill that we're seeing for the first time today. And so I will be offering my amendments at a later time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gray. Any other comments about the bill?
I.
Representative Groh.
Fell into the same gap as Representative Gray. And I also had amendments that I will not be offering tonight because of the glitch that Representative Gray described.
Okay. Well, so I will just make a decision right now to extend the deadline for amendments because I don't want you to not be able to offer an amendment, and we will hold the bill over to allow you time to draft your amendments because you had them in good faith for the last bill, last session, and we will take that up at a later date and have that conversation. So today is Monday.
It's on 142.
That's correct. That is for HB 142. I will set an amendment deadline for Wednesday, close of business Wednesday. Will that work for you, Representative Groh?
Sure.
Okay. Wednesday, the 28th, close of business. Okay. And we will set 142, House Bill 142 aside. And with that, we will bring forward the next item on the agenda is House Bill 156. I do not have any amendments for 156. Are there questions or comments regarding 156 from the committee? The bill sponsor is with us tonight. Do you have any comments that you would like to make to the committee this evening?
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I just offer that I'm grateful.
Can you give us our name for the record?
Pardon me. Elise Galvin, representative here in the House. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity to put on the table another option as we think about broad-based revenue. We know that every state in the nation has some form of broad-based revenue, and there are lots of things to consider. It's a policy decision. I appreciate that our state historically has been able to, for many years, be without taxes, and I think it's a responsible thing for us to be considering it now, not because we need it today, but because soon there will be a need, and to put anything in place, according to those experts who would be putting it into place, it takes a long time, like a year to 18 months. So with that in mind, I hope that you will consider looking at this seriously, and if you have any further questions, I'm here for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Questions or comments from the committee? Okay. We just had a conversation about amendments on the previous bill. I'm concerned that maybe we didn't have amendments for this bill, and maybe I should extend the timeline for amendments for Wednesday, the 28th.
I don't have any amendments. Full disclosure, I'm a co-sponsor. I'm okay. Fine now.
Okay. There doesn't appear to be any comments for the or any requests for amendments for this bill. So
Mr. Chair,
Representative Groh?
I move we pass out House Bill 156 with individual recommendation.
Object.
Okay, there's been a motion to move the bill out, and there's an objection.
It needs to be done. It needs to be done.
Yeah, there is specific language that needs to be made for a movement. So, Representative McCabe, can you make a motion for me?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I move to report House Bill 156, version 33-LS0699/Alpha out of committee. I guess that's backslash alpha for the reporter. Out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Object.
Representative McKay is objected. Will the recorder please call the roll?
Representative McKay.
No.
Representative McCabe.
No.
Representative Gray.
Yes.
Representative Chilton.
No.
Representative Allard.
No.
Representative Groh.
Yes.
Chair Carpenter.
Yes.
3 yay, 4 nay.
With a vote of 3 yay and 4 nay, House Bill 156 is not reported out of committee. Okay. That concludes our business for tonight, I believe. Thank you all for joining us. We will be adjourned as of 7:06 p.m.